FIFA fans around the world, we're recording this on Sunday, October 24th. As always, I am your host, Tyler.
And I'm your host, Andrew. Welcome to your weekly hit of the Foot Fix. Tyler, welcome back to kick things off. What are you drinking tonight?
Hey, thanks. Appreciate it. Glad to be home. I am drinking a Ghostfish Brewing Company Grapefruit IPA. Ghostfish Brewing is from the great state of Washington, so just north of me here in Oregon. And it's a real delicious citrusy IPA. How about yourself,
Andrew? Whoa, you crossed the river for a beer. Good for you. I am actually just drinking Bullet Bourbon on the rocks. I was drinking a nice Manhattan before, and I actually finished it while playing Rivals and waiting for you to get back from soccer. So then I had to run upstairs, and so now I am drinking Bullet Bourbon on the rocks.
Delicious. That is actually my favorite bourbon. And also their rye. Awesome. Very good. So shout out to Bullet.
Oh, yeah, I love it. Cheers.
Yeah, cheers, man.
So, you know, one thing before we get into everything, we just want to send out some love to John Van Uden at Foot Coaching. He got us both into podcasting, certainly a good friend of ours, and we know he's going through a difficult time right now. So just want to kind of send him some love and hope you and your family are, you know, I know getting through this difficult time as best you can. And we, you know, love and support you, and that it really sucks, and don't want to like kind of talk too much more about it, but just want to send our love.
Yeah, nothing but love and best wishes from us, John. Hope you and your family are doing well, and we're looking forward to having you back on the scene, but please take all the time with your family you need, and best wishes.
So Tyler, you've been gone for, I believe, 10 days. I think you just got back today. Have you played any FIFA? When's the last day you played FIFA?
Yeah, so I got back late last night from my 10 days in San Francisco. Woke up early this morning. Wife was still sleeping, and I jumped on, played a couple games of squad battles because I wanted to work on that Silver Beast thing. You thankfully told me about how you could do Silver Beast and unlock that stupid Road to the Knockout cruise at the same time. Figured I might as well do that because I decided I want to do the Politano SBC that is out there. But all I have actually played is two squad battles games. And that means there's like, you know, while I was gone, there was the whole patch release. Like, we had seen the pitch notes on it, but it had not actually come out before I left. So a ton has changed, I would say, in dominating squad battles on professional difficulty. Like, I think I won 8-2 and 6-1. And it was the same dumb bullshit that squad battles always is, where, like, you know, the 64 rated 28 chem squad that I'm playing scores like insane goals and has incredible dribbling. But, you know, over the course of the full 90 minutes, like, they're just not good enough and they're bad. The mode is not fun at all, but I can't say that I've noticed anything related to the patch, but just slowly making some progress on that to get some cards back into my club.
So I've got two things there. First thing, man, EA has really fucked up squad battles. Like, it used to be fun. It used to be one of the modes I really enjoyed. I actually played it a lot more than online mode because I found it challenging, but not too challenging. You know, I had a newborn kid and I could pause the game anytime I wanted to do whatever I needed to do. And now it's just like a misery. Like, it is not, it's, I feel like it's intentional that they don't want you to play, but it's not fun. So that's, I just wish, make squad battles great again, please. And the other thing, you mentioned that there you were doing just two SBCs, Cruz and Silver Beast. You can actually combine a third, so check your starting lineup, because you could also get a lone hero card. I got Gomez out of it. You know, two of them are very easy to do, because it's just like score two goals and four squad battles matches and then like play 5 foot games. And the other, I think, just requires you to start three games with like a French, German, and Italian player or something. Let me just look it up real quick.
Okay, that's good to know. Yeah, I definitely, in the two games that I played, I had not even considered that. So before I get back to it, I will make sure I make that happen. Because I really want to get my lone Clint Dempsey.
Win three squad battles matches with one professional, which is what all of them are, with one French, one German, and one Spanish player in your squad.
Okay,
just,
awesome.
Just pull up some silvers, you know. This is what I did. I like, you know, moved my squad to like a 50-rated, to a 50-rated squad. It was totally still easy enough and worth it to get it done.
Yeah, so that's my brief catch-up on my knowledge of State of the Game. But Andrew, I know you've been around, you've been playing. Why don't you fill me in on what's been going on in your world and maybe even the broader FIFA community's world?
So I haven't been playing as much as I was before you left. And the reason is because I think something happened. Something happened on EA's end. It feels linked to the patch or the non-patch, the hot fix thing that they did. I forgot what they call it specifically, but some type of like, oh, we can tweak the game without needing to do a full patch thing. Remember early in the year, I was saying this was a better game than FIFA 21, you know, 20, the last year's version, FIFA 21, really probably was better than FIFA 20 as well. And just, it was just like, I was having more fun. I was like interested in playing the game, all that stuff. That's gone. I like this game is, it's a fucking tragedy right now.
Oh no.
It is so incredibly sluggish. And I've tried both new gen and old gen because like, oh, I've been playing on old gen. Maybe what they wanted to do was drive everybody to new gen. So maybe they like somehow tanked old gen intentionally or did something screwy. So I was like, oh, let me just play new gen. I was like, oh no, 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 it's bad. So I think I even mentioned on last Monday that the stupid thing where at halftime you were getting a delay was a thing where it's just like for almost everyone I know on Xbox, they were getting this weird delay where you get the, you have a completely smooth first half or as smooth as you're going to get. And then the second half starts and at kickoff, the game just, you get the little red indicators and stuff. The red indicators of death is what I call them. And because it's telling you you're both getting bad connection and bad jitter. But it's like a consistent thing at halftime. So something is happening with the way EA is processing halftimes. And then just generally the game is just terrible right now. It just really is terrible. So I have a lot of things I want to say. I'm probably going to skip over some of these things on this long list that I made to you. But the number one thing, and I think I've said this before, but I'm going to talk about it all the time now. The fact that people can quit games in a tie game and EA doesn't give you a win because of that is complete fucking bullshit. Like just utter fucking bullshit. I can't stand something more that you are kind of just, it's just such a waste of your time. Like, and I try to do, there's this one objective where you use a couple of leagues. I forgot even what some like supreme score objective where you have to win 4 out of 10 games in a friendly mode to get a 50K pack. So I was like, oh, that's worth trying. A guy quit at 1-1 on me. And I was just like, cool. We played like 45 minutes. You're not good. You're not better than me, actually. Like, you know, the XG was like 4.8-1 or something. Like, you know, you were going to lose and you quit because you randomly tied the game. It's just like, what the fuck, EA? Like, EA is encouraging that. And to me, that is my, of all the bad things about FIFA, and I think there are a ton. That is my second worst thing. And the first is like kind of encouraging gambling to children, which we've talked about before. We will talk about again, but that's number two. And that is the easiest thing EA could fix. They can fix it immediately. I think every, I'm pretty confident Madden has that, where if you quit in a tie, you give a win. Certainly NHL does, MLB does. It's a common thing in competitive games. If it's tied and your opponent quits, it's a fucking loss. Like it's a right. loss for you. It's a loss for you already. So why is your opponent not getting a win? It's
right. just and so if it easy happened in the real world, right? Like if a club just walked off the pitch in a 1-1, 1-1 tie in the middle of a match, they'd surely be awarded a forfeit. And like, you know, the other team would get a win for that, right? Like something like that would happen.
Yeah.
And it really does just promote toxicity of people doing stupid things. And I think the alternative of if people still wanted to be toxic and they knew that you were going to get the win if they quit, they just rubber band and put the controller down. And I'm totally fine with that, right? Like, then I still get my win. Like, it's like, I don't
rubber
mind.
Banding. Yeah.
Yeah.
Rubber banding is like, oh, I get to test some skill moves out and stuff. Cool. Like, I can live with rubber banding. And MLB The Show, the game I was playing most recently, people quit, you know, you hit this like long home run and people would quit before the ball would go out of the yard or something. Who cares? You get the win. Like, it's a little annoying because you don't get the stats and counting and whatever, but like at the end of the night, like, oh, I got the win. So I'm not actually angry that you quit in a 0-0 game, or you load up and you screwed up your squad and you have the wrong squad in, or you just don't want to play my team because it looks too good or whatever. Cool. Fine with me. Like, you quit. Like, you're not wasting my time because I get a free win. Like, great. So that to me is the number one like gameplay-ish related thing that EA just has to fix. I've been saying it literally since FIFA 18, since I started playing Ultimate Team. I just truly don't understand why it's not something they fixed.
Yeah, they're just assholes.
I think so.
It would be an easy fix. Like, I guarantee they could do it easily, and they probably already have the code to do it. They're just not choosing to turn it on.
They give the guy who quits a loss. So of course they can do it. Like, they're literally tracking it. Like, there's no doubt about it. So, all right. So yeah. Other things that are really bothering me in this game right now, the delay shit I talked about. Tackling is atrocious right now. I think Valerio mentioned this in manual tackling. There's like, he has this video where he's just ranting. Like, I think if you want to feel how I feel, you know, go watch his Italian Stallion. Go watch his 10-minute video or so. He used to call it like the 2 tackle tax. And now he's like, no, it's a 10 tackle tax this year. Cause it is, you tackle someone and the ball goes right back to him, or it's like a perfect pass to his opponent and just like keeps happening. And it's not every time, but it feels like in the last third of the pitch, it's just something's broken and it's very frustrating. And I don't get it. And I don't get why balls don't just like random, like, why are they like, why is the code that the ball is like pinned to the opponent's feet as opposed to just like being random loose balls that someone has to go track down? You know, the rest of the stuff on this list of mine, which is very deep. I'm ready for them to fix goalkeepers. I don't feel like they did. I think goalkeepers are still making like crazy saves all day long. And it might be just shooting is bad right now and I need better players, but I'm playing with a lot of guys who with Kim styles are 95 plus and finishing and, you know, 90 plus composures, people like Yetter and Isaac Holland. So I just don't know about that. And then I think passing and everything else is a function for me of delays, because if I press pass and I literally started counting 2 days ago, I'm just like, I'm just gonna fucking see, press pass and go 1,000, 2,000. Oh, I passed the ball now. Well, I mean, just, it's kind of useless. So, you know, and that leads you to having balls intercepted and stuff. And that's why everyone's using the driven ground pass, because it kind of hits the ball so hard, it goes through the players, even if they do have time to like get in the way. So I am just generally really, really frustrated with the game. And I'm interested to hear next week, after you've had some time back with the patch and everything, how it's going for you and how it's going on PlayStation. Because one thing I have really been kicking around, we've talked for the entire time we've been doing this podcast about my trying to get a PlayStation 5. I am at the point where I'm about to buy a PlayStation 4 for like $300 from Best Buy or something, because I think I'm just done with Xbox. Like, if it is just the fact that there is no player base in the US on Xbox, or just the way the connections work or something, if that is really like 50% of my problem, then $300 for an Xbox or for a PlayStation seems well worth it.
Yeah. So, and you definitely know, like, I also have an Xbox, an old gen Xbox, and I stopped playing it because I actually felt like my connection was significantly worse. And so I know in my experience, like, I do think that that's actually a valid thing to explore. Like, I wouldn't really say spend $300 on an old gen console. Like, you know, I'd rather you spend $750 on a black market to get a PS5 that has a little bit of life to it.
Well, but by the time I can get a normal PS5, like, I'm just going to be buying a PS6. So
Anyway, I think that that may be a factor that might be relevant only to North America audience, or kind of rest of world, like APAC area, where the player base is spread out so much. I imagine in Europe, this is less of a factor. But yeah, I think that's fair. One thing I wanted to ask you Have you noticed the outside the box finesse shots being less common? That was one of the things when I was still playing 10 days ago that was still, I would say, quite common. And I haven't heard too much about it.
I think that seems to be the general consensus for me, the way I play both on offense and defense. I wasn't seeing it very often anyways. Like, I wasn't taking a lot of them because for whatever reason, I didn't have it down. Even if I hit green timed, I wasn't hitting it from the right angles or something. I wanted to be kind of closer to the center, I think, and less kind of way outside the box. And then on defense, like, I just don't give up those shots. That's like kind of the point of, I probably end up over marking that area of the box and like giving up, you know, more close to the goal spot. So I just almost never give up that type of shot in general, just the weird way I play. So I've heard, I think a lot of people have said that, and I think it's caused people to drop back even more. I've certainly seen that the drop back is even like crazier. So that is certainly frustrating, but yeah, I think to be seen on that. I think some people have said that it's EA maybe overstated how, you know, how much they nerfed the finesse shots. Like, people with Messi and stuff are still banging them in. So you tell us next week, person with Messi, how you're banging in long shots still.
Yeah, you know, the second I get into Rivals, that's definitely the first thing I'm going to be doing. And I mentioned on Monday's pod, I did the Fakir SBC. I think you did too. I feel like between Fakir, player of the month Benzema, and Messi, I've got plenty of guys that should be able to bang in those finesse shots from anywhere. And so I'll know if they're working within a week for sure. So we'll definitely have my feedback on that then. The thing I wanted to also ask you is, like, so short of getting a PS5 or a PS4, where do you go from here? Like, if you're going to log into Foot at any time over the next, you know, 7 days, what is it you're going to try to do? What is it you want to do? Like, where's your head at in future state of playing the game?
So I'm still trying to figure that out, Tyler. I think that for me is in flux. Right before we logged in, I played 2 Rivals matches. So I think that is where I'm trying to play, because I'm trying to get better. I want to get better. You know, I enjoy, you know, playing the game at a semi-competitive level, even if it's not, oh, I'm not like going to make the elite division or something. I still want to, you know, try my best to like see how good I am at the game and like play competitively, and squad battles is terrible. So if I'm playing the game, I think Rivals or the playoff is where it's going to be at. So that's, I probably need to kind of tweak my tactics and my team, but I do think I might try to make a playoff run at some point before the season ends, because it's kind of pointless to make all this progress and not at least give it one shot, I think.
Yeah, I think that sounds good. I look forward to hearing how your playoff run goes. I do think if you get through the playoff, like getting into this weekend league has to be the most reward, like pack content-wise, weekend league reward system ever. And so I do know, like, I know you're a good player. I think you'll be able to do it. And, you know, I obviously tried once, I failed, wasn't able to do it. A part of my plan this week is I do want to try out some new tactics. I felt like just my game felt a little stale pre-leaving. A couple of guys in our Discord shared some of their tactics. And so I'm going to actually set up both. I know we got, there was a 4-2-2 tactic from Kevin LFC. And then there was I think it was a 4-3-2-1. From what is it?
I think it's like your tactics in the 4-3-2-1 though. So
what's that?
It might be your tactics though.
No, it's not mine. I think okay. It was.
Is it my tactics? It might be
no,
my tactics.
I think it's Sleek DMC.
I think he said he stole it from us though, but I might just be. Tipsy at 1 o'clock in the morning. My time. Yeah. So.
Well, I want to set them up. I want to set up everything the same as those guys.
Yeah.
And literally like I know, I think Sleek's like in D3, Kevin might be in D2, D1. Like, I know he's a very good player, 16-4 or 15-4 over this past weekend league. He hit elite last year. And I kind of want to like set up the same system, run it. And as I mentioned on Monday, like I really want to start recording my game play and watching it back so that I can really figure out like what are the stupid things that happened that like lead to the goals that I can see, to rewatch it, figure out like, what did I do wrong? And then like, you know, understand like, how are the chances that I create? What I'm really going to try to do is encourage those guys to record their gameplay too. And then see like, how are they creating their chances? Like if I find I'm getting like stagnant and can't make anything happen, like what is it they're doing? And I think literally running the same system as someone is a great way to try to do that. So I'm just going to do it. And so that's my plan for the week. I already have like the 1500 points to play the playoff. But first I'm going to I'm going to finish my 3 squad battles games. Nice. For these objectives. I'm going to get my 7 rivals wins so that I can like test out these tactics and start to get familiar with them. But then probably by like Thursday or so, Thursday, Friday, hoping to just jump in and actually play my next round of the playoff and see where that goes.
Awesome. So just a few things. So one, great plug for our Discord, which I think I'm having way more fun in our Discord and like paying way more attention to it than I ever thought I was going to. So I think it's just a small group of folks and stuff. But if you're interested in talking about FIFA and stuff, there's a number of good ones that I'm part of, and I'm now more active in those other ones as well than I was before. But ours is pretty cool. The 4-3-2-1 tactics were actually from Koblikov. I think that's how you say it. Koblikov. Hope I'm pronouncing your tag right. But, you know, another cool friend of ours on the Discord. So he has some cool 4-3-2-1 tactics.
Yes. Thank you, Koblikov. I will be setting up your tactics later this evening, and I look forward to testing them out.
So a couple more things we want to talk about. Obviously, we have a new promo this week. Road to the Knockout Stage 2. To me, it seems like there's basically 2 tiers of cards, and we got 4 new cards today as well. So now we have 15 in total, 16 if you count that cruise card, but let's not count that cruise card. So Tyler, what do you think? What do you think about this one? How do you think it compares to the last one? Any players jump out as exciting or a good value or not a good value, but someone you definitely want to try?
Honestly, I think there's some good players. If I packed them untradeable, I'd be happy and would definitely try them. I don't think there's anyone that I'm going to be going out and buying, that's for sure. Like Frankie de Jong, like if I got him untradeable, I'd be ecstatic. He would fit into my team. I would play him. But he's 675K. Like I think that's outrageous. I know he had a work rate change this year, and so that would just bother me from the outset of probably thinking like he's not really the right player for the role that I would want him to actually play in. Timo Werner, his card looks insane. His card destroys me all the time when I play this game, but I think he's still a 3-star weak foot player. And so I would always have this like irritation of like actually using him in my squad. And that's not to say that he's not an incredible card. And if you use him, like you're probably going to smash people, but it just doesn't fit my team. It does 3-star weak foot. I find it's just a huge detriment. And so it's a stay away for me.
So he's actually a 4-star weak foot. 3-star skills, shit. 4-star weak foot.
Ooh, okay. Well, I could probably live with that because
I mean, skills are fucking pointless this year.
Yeah, so. Exactly. So now I'm slightly interested. The one problem, of course, is that he's 800,000 coins, which, you know, I'm all La Liga and no German players. And so one, if I sold everything, I still couldn't afford him, and then I would have no links for him either. So I guess that'll be my reason not to get Timo Werner. If I got him untradeable, yeah, I'd be ecstatic, and I would probably try to figure out how to work around him because, yeah, I would live without the 4-star skill. Like 3-star skills, 4-star weak foot, I would play it for sure. And I don't know, everyone else, it's like there's good card. Like Jesus Navas is the best right back in La Liga. Like if you get him, like that's awesome. Like he's a good card. But most of these cards for me were probably like super sub territory. Like I'm not really like overly excited for anyone. I know they're all obviously eligible for potential plus twos, but those plus twos might come 6-ish weeks from now. Like, you know, it's a long time. Like we're going to be getting a bunch of promos between now and then. I imagine most of these cards decline in value until that point in time. And so I don't know, I'm kind of like, man, like it's great to have more options and more variety and better cards on the game, but I don't there's no one in this club or in this squad that I'm like, oh, that's a, I must buy them. They must get in my team. Like, I think I'm happy to just keep most of my mainly gold squad and just move forward. How about you?
No, I feel the exact same. I think there's a couple of cards that maybe look interesting that are effectively discard or like, you know, the lowest level. Cause I view this, basically it's a two tiered type of promo. There are cards on Xbox that are under 30K. And that's like basically 10 of the 15 cards that we have out. And then there's a couple of expensive cards, Werner, DeJong, Royce, Fred, Immobile, and Navas, and Lodi. So that's what, six cards. So six cards that are more than 30K and the rest are under 30K. And so to me, that's just like showing what we're going to talk about in a second about what's going on in the market. Of those expensive cards, I agree with you. Like, they're not worth it. Like, why 900K for Royce or 820, whatever he's going for right now. I'm sorry, not Royce, Werner. It's just not worth it. DeJong, 650. I just go buy his gold for like $5. Fred looks kind of interesting, but he's still a little expensive for me. I think if he was like 150K, I might try to make him work on my team because he would kind of fit in my team. Maybe be a good replacement for Pogba or something.
Is he could still be interesting. High?
He is. Yeah.
And he's always so good at foot. Like, I watched the United game today against Liverpool where they lost. Well, Liverpool won 5-0 and Fred looked just lost the whole game. Like, he's terrible in real life, but in FIFA, he's great.
Yeah. And if you put like an engine on him, he's going to have like 99. I think he has like 99 agility, balance, and dribbling or something like that. So he is, it could be engine. It could be finisher. It's whatever wants. One of those makes him like incredibly good as a card. So, you know, I've been toying around. Do I pick him up? Cause I do have some coins, but he does seem kind of expensive when there's relative replacements for much cheaper. So some of the cards I am interested in cheaper in, partly because I think they would go up a lot if they got the upgrades, but also just because they almost can't go that much lower. Diata is 27K on Xbox, 25K on PlayStation. If he gets even one up, so one, he's an 82 rated. So his upgrades would jump from 8 to 84 and then to 86. And 86 Diata, I think, would go for a lot of coins. I think he would be a 100 to 200K card. But even now, four star, pretty good stats. So I think he could be a very interesting super sub. So might be someone I pick up partly as a club stash, partly as like a, let's try him out as a super sub. You know, a couple other cards like that. Tielemans could be interesting. Tapsoba, you know, shout out to throwback from last year's FIFA. Tapsoba looks like a pretty good card too. If you're running a Brazilian team, this Veríssimo looks like a pretty good fullback. You know, he's probably pretty comparable to Militao. Certainly comparable stats, I think, to Marquinhos. Obviously, so if it's all Brazil that you're running, then he's a pretty good replacement for a quarter of the cost. So, you know, some of those guys, Amavi also looks pretty good. So some of those guys look interesting for basically discard. But other than that, you know, this is a kind of weak squad, I feel like.
Yeah, I think if you were like starting a squad like a week ago and didn't have any good untradeables and you just like had 150, 200K coins in your club and you just want to like get started, some of those lower end cards would be the perfect way to start because they have like the upside for those upgrades and could get better. But I think like for guys like you and I that have been playing since early release, like we have so many good untradeable cards kind of in the club that already kind of steer and dictate the way that we're going with our club, that it's hard to get overly excited about too much of these guys.
Yeah, I agree. So next thing I want to talk about, and you kind of put us in a perfect segue here, is I want to talk about the market and what EA is doing to the market. And it is a clusterfuck. And I think there is a ton of frustration from everyone on the game right now. Every year, I think I've heard rumblings from people who, you know, said, oh, I bought this card for 1.1 million and now he's like 900,000. It sucks I lost the 200K value of it. But you know, it was kind of like you were buying at the wrong time and like, oh, you held that card for like 6 weeks and things like that. Now it's like, I'm an example. Like I packed a Varane untradeable. So I bought Pogba to play with him, bought him, sniped him. at 94K, which was 11K below what he was going for at the time. I actually, I was like, oh, this is kind of easy. I ended up sniping like three other ones and flipping them all for 105K. And within like 24 hours, he was like 65K. It's just the supply on the market is just crashing these gold cards.
Wow, that's such a kick in the nuts.
It is. And I don't care. I'm pretty confident I can always go out and make coins. Like, you know, I've been flipping icons lately. I don't have a market section set up for this week, but basically all I've been doing is like flipping icons and then like immediately flipping gold cards with hunters or shadows on them. And like, just basically trying to just snipe them, make 1-2K profit and stuff. Nothing so incredibly unspecial type of things I'm doing, but we'll talk about that another week. But the market is just, man, they've just crashed everything. And it's just really deflating to people because you don't want to, I think there's just so many things. So supply is through the roof. They've now been having like special packs in the stores all week. So you miss this. And so it's not anything like, oh, this is incredible. Like they've had 100K packs in store, but they had 25K packs or 35K packs in store all the time. And so people are buying those to try to pack some of these road to the knockout stage cards, or just generally want to try to test their luck. And it's just and then they're also giving away tradable packs, which is great. I want tradable packs, but just the way it's been going, the market is just, it's just really dead, except for like the most elite cards, except for, you know, and if you're in packs right now, you can kind of expect your card to go down unless you're Mbappe, Ronaldo, Neymar, Messi, Conti. That's about it. Because even like someone who's like maybe like the sixth or seventh most expensive card in the game, Heung-Min Son, shot up when he was out of packs for 2 weeks. But now that he's back in packs, he's clearly getting supplied like crazy and he's down to under 200K on Xbox.
Yeah. And so you, I think that is something cards that is like top five or six gold cards, right? Like there's probably some icons that are in there.
Icons are different.
Yeah.
Icons are very different. This is gold cards only. And I think the most deflating thing is just how rapid it is, because in years past, like I would always say, you know, kind of like, don't stick with your cards too long. Like you don't want to get stuck. Like they will go down in value throughout the year. But it's not, they'll go down in value every 12 hours. Like you should have some expectation that, oh, okay, maybe I'll lose like 2% or 5% if I hold it in a week. Not, oh, they're going to lose 45% of their value if I hold them for literally 10 seconds. So I think that is really deflating a lot of people. And I mean, Kevin De Bruyne, who a lot of people think is the best non-icon midfielder in the game, maybe the best non-Hullet midfielder in the game, including icons. And he's 90K on Xbox. He's 92K on PlayStation. I've used him. He's great. I'm probably going to pick him back up because he's just too cheap right now. So I think it's just crushing people. Even the promo cards. So the Road to the Knockout Stage 1, I was like flipping them. And unless you basically flip them within the hour or two that you bought a card, you were taking an L on them. And so you could do it, but it was some really risky shit. Now out of packs, they've flown, which is the other thing to know is out of packs, some cards seem to be flying. Other cards seem to be going down. So it's kind of like,
yeah, what I know for sure, right? Like the discard ones went way up because there's the requirement, like in the Politano, and I think it was the Inaki Williams that came out. Both of those SBCs had a Road to the Knockout requirement within them, which
Bernardo Silva
made,
does.
Bernardo Silva, does, that's right. Sure. So it's Bernardo Silva and Politano both have it, and so like you can get them for free through the objectives, or you could, you know, just go buy a guy that used to be going for 15-16K like Gravenberch, but now I think he's like 25K, and you know, right, that probably like boosted some of the bottom end market of those cards. So
it did, you know, but also even just the regular, so Rodrigo, I just pulled him up somewhat randomly, right before he went out of packs, he was at 201K on Xbox. He is now 244. So that's a significant, you know, what, that's 20% boost. Tonali, same type of bump. He was 57K right before going out of PAX. He's now 87. Actually, he's 90K. That's an undercut. So it seems like actually the usable cards have also gone up out of PAX, which is something you would typically expect in years past, and just we didn't see it before. But then it is nice to see, and EA did this with OTWs too, so it's probably going to affect promos going forward that people are never going to let them get to discard, because now we know they're just going to be required in SBCs, and that's a good thing to know. So I don't know. It's just like, I think people are very frustrated losing coins.
Should I just go put my 500K in a Mavi? Like, he's a usable road to the knockout who's about to go out of PAX, and you know,
he's not about to go out of PAX. So I would give it some time, because we've got whatever they're going to do for the next 3 days for supply. Then we're going to get Rivals reward supply. Then he's going to go out of PAX.
So like early my time Friday morning, just all in on a Mavi.
Might be right.
At 20K.
Yeah, if he gets to 20K, I would think that might be a very good card. But then again, if EA drops, you know, Mendy or, you know, some other, like a Mendy or Teo Hernandez or something, that I guess they might be more expensive than that. So maybe if Lucas Hernandez got a good card that was similar to this, something like that.
Yeah. Anyway, I'm sorry. I sidetracked you.
That's a good type of point and like a thing to think about, because a Mavi probably is a good investment because he's very cheap, but I would actually think he's going to get cheaper. God, he's a 5-star weak foot. I forgot about that. That's an interesting card for sure. But one other thing is high rated golds are pennies right now. I actually didn't think they could get lower. I invested in 88s at 15K and I was like, there's no possible way they get lower, which is just like famous last words in this FIFA, because they're now all 14K. But I just do a club stock, right? And some of these cards are good. So I bought a Holland for, I think, 14.5. And it's like, well, I just want him on my bench because he's a really fucking good card. And why would I not just like, now I'm just going to use him as a sub because I have Holland as a investment. Or Sterling is 28K now. And even, you know, 80, you can go up the ladder, 89s, 90s. Like, so Harry Kane is 22K right now. That is a very good card. And he's 22K. He's a 90 rated 22K. The goalkeepers in the 90 rated, Ter Stegen and Neuer, are 25K each. Like, that's why you can get a ton of, you know, interesting card. You can have a great team, a great gold squad team for discard. But so I got off track there. For those high rated, I'd say go buy one each and just stock them in your club. Stock them on your bench because they're very usable. Was why I got sidetracked, because they're fun to use. But some of these guys, Sergio Ramos, Cruz, Suarez, Haaland, Lukaku, Navas, all are at the same level. So that's six of them. At some point this year, they're all going to go up. So you don't need to buy like 10 of them, but buying one each is like not a terrible use of your cards and just kind of like waiting around to see where they go.
Yeah, I think that's good advice. I started all right. Some of that. I have been listing those guys that I bought. So I bought Holland, Navas, Suarez. There's a couple other guys in there that I picked up. And I've just been listing all of them for lazy buyers. Kaylor Navas, for example, I'm only listing for like 16.5 just to like test the waters and see like what's going on. And he's kind of like my flyer to like see if anything's happening in the market. And I've probably listed him 45 times and literally no one has bought him. And I was like, God, this is dead as hell. The one thing that has kept hitting for me on occasion, I mentioned to you, I think in our Discord, but I bought a bunch of the Denzel Dumfries, the Dutch right back from Serie A, for 700 coins. And, you know, I was away, had some free time, and it was like, I don't have a console, so I can't play a game. So let me just dabble a little in the investing world. I wouldn't really call this trading, but I was like, there's no way an 82 rated rare gold Dutch right back isn't going to eventually be worth more than 700 coins. And so I went out and bought like 45 of them. And sure enough, like 24 hours later, he spiked up to 2.5K because of a daily SBC that came out that gave out a decent pack reward that had relatively high chem requirement. And so, you know, position players kind of jump up for those types of things. And so I sold most of them, but I forgot. I did like a super dumb rookie mistake where I sold all the guys that I had on my transfer list. And then like I went back like 6 hours later and I forgot I had all these guys that I had won in my unassigned. So I had 27 more Denzel Dumfries in unassigned. And by then he had gone from the like 2.5K sell price down to like, I don't know, like 1800. And I was like, yeah, I'll list it like 1900 or 2K to like see if someone will just buy them. And then like literally no one bought them and he just kept dropping and dropping and dropping. And then I was like, well, shit, now I still have 27 Denzel Dumfries because I kept trying to get a lazy buyer there. It didn't work out. But anyway, I only paid 700 points for all those guys.
Man, I keep jumping in and saying a few things. One, Patreons would definitely call that trading. So you should call it trading. Also, that you were kind of describing why we get market crashes sometimes, right? Like people will invest in some card like this. They'll hit on the card, but they won't be able to sell all of them immediately. And then you're like, well, I see the price is going down. I could get the fuck out of it. So, he's 1800. Let me undercut and list for 1600 so people will buy. And if like 3 to 5 investors are doing that, then it's just going to like, it just kills the market, right? So that's how that works. But it's a great call and that's, you know, that's a good idea and that's the way you do this. And I think I've been trying to trade more just in general, not just icons, but like flipping. I just pulled up my transfer list. I flipped some Usman Dembele's, a Rashford, a few Jordi Alba's, who Jordi Alba has just utterly crashed recently, which is very interesting. I guess like all the other cards, but he was 10K 24 hours ago and he's now 7.2K on Xbox. There's also good out of pack cards. Jonathan David is one I really like trading with. I'm only making like 1 to 2K per flip, but it's something making coins.
Yeah. So the market is tough for sure. One thing I wanted to quickly ask you about, did you consider the Bernardo Silva SBC? I know you loved his gold card.
I'm still considering it. I don't think I'm going to do it because I have a rule and I've talked about it on our podcast before that if I don't think I'm going to use a card for 100 games, I don't want to do an untradeable SBC. I have so much fodder that I've actually already built the squads for Bernardo and I'm just trying to figure out how I would set up a actual squad to do it. And I'm kind of hurt by the fact that Man City doesn't have a Harry Kane or even Aguero or someone like that right now, a striker, or even Sterling doesn't have a striker. So, cause I'm not sure how I would like fit it in. Cause I'm like Cristiano is just too expensive for me. So I'm not exactly sure how I would fit him in, but I am considering it. I think it's a decent value. It's not the best value ever. You know, if he was 100K instead of 160K or whatever he is.
Yeah. It's like he's not decent value because everything else is so fucking cheap. Right. Like it's like, I think if he was that price in like prior versions of FIFA, it would be like a no-brainer because his card is actually very good and extremely likely to get upgrades. It's just that, I mean, you can go get Bruno Fernandes for half the price of this SBC and you can trade him when you don't want to use him anymore.
Or you can just go get KDB for 75% of the price of the SBC and also trade him when you don't want to use him. That's why I'm like debating it because
that's the real sticky part with like where I think EA are at with this market is that like they keep I assume they're going to keep valuing SBCs at a very high price.
Yeah.
And it's going to start making less, like we can only play 11 players at a time. It's going to make less and less sense to like be putting these SBC players into our squads unless they're like the literal perfect fit. And I don't really think they're going to get the value right. And so I'm worried that this game is going to, SBCs are going to really lose their enticement. I don't know. I'm skeptical of like where things are headed from like a market valuation equation.
So I think that's right. But also like I have multiple high rated duplicates. Like I have an 87 and 86 duplicate untradeable sitting on my unassigned. I literally have enough cards in my squad to build this entire Bernardo Silva easily. And so I think that's how the valuation also needs to get calculated a little bit, is because you have so much fodder, you have so much fodder untradeable, you need somewhere to park some of this. So I personally prefer like the repeatable SBCs where it's just like grindable, but the high rateds don't really fit well in something like that, unless it's, you know, a repeatable, or you just, I kind of want just like a road to the knockout, you know, SBC that we get or something like that, because that I'd prefer parking my coins in that type of gamble, which is stupid because Silva, if they cost the exact same, which I actually expect they would, Silva's infinitely better than taking the slot machine pool to get, you know, some 25 rated card. Totally. I could also get, you know, Marquinhos or Warp Werner or something like that.
Yeah, and obviously EA hold the keys to all this. Like, they can release a base icon SBC or a hero SBC, and fodder will fly and people will churn through their coins. Like, they can do that whenever they want. And so if they feel like the market's not doing what they want to do, they can just manipulate it to do what they want to do. It feels crazy right now. I imagine 2 months from now, it will probably feel very different. I think your point around club stocks is reasonable, because at some point, those cards are going to be worth a lot more coins than they are today. Like, that's for sure. And, you know, maybe you buy it 15K and it dropped to 13.5. Like, yeah, so be it. But eventually they'll be worth 25K. So, like, just chill.
Yeah, don't look at the price. Eventually, like, it'll be December or January, and Messi or Ronaldo or Mbappe or someone will get a player of the month, and it'll be appropriately priced, and it will bounce the market. So Salah is probably going to get a player of the month upcoming. So it could, you know, bounce the market.
Yeah.
So Tyler, I think we've go ahead.
Oh, I was going to say, I think we chatted about the market a lot. We even touched on Monday's episode a lot about the no loss glitch and how that impacted Weekend League. What has happened since we recorded is the Weekend League bans came out. So EA issued a statement, said they identified over 30,000 players who were basically using that no loss glitch, and they banned them for 7 days. And, you know, that has come out. I first wanted to ask, like, do you have any initial thoughts as it relates to that?
Not much of a punishment. Seems like EA didn't really care that much. I mean, they got to keep their elite rewards that they got. Presumably they got like 25% better rewards or so. So maybe one or two ranks higher, and in a great team of the week. And then in this team of the week, it's complete dog shit. So, like, what are those people really missing out on rewards wise? And then, you know, missing 7 days of FIFA is just not, in the grand scheme of things, not that much. So it's just slap on the wrist, it seems like. And it's almost like, hey, we didn't, you know, it's not that, we didn't think it was that big of a deal. And it seems like EA didn't think it was that big of a deal. And like, it's almost like slap on the wrist, we're going to patch it. That's that. But yeah, it does seem like EA took a harder stance on something else, at least is the rumor, because we're not playing Weekend League, so we haven't seen it, and I'm not sure it's really been confirmed or anything. But it does seem like the rumor going out there is that EA has banned people for just kind of quitting their matches. I guess like giving up an own goal and quitting, which is something both of us in the past have talked openly and freely about. We have done that on Weekend Leagues. It's one of our favorite things to do when we have hit our target and we're just done. We'll just give away games because it's just like being a good human, or like trying to like pay it forward, or just when we're on the receiving end of that and you're just like grinding out a Weekend League and you randomly get a free win on Sunday, it just feels like a breath of fresh air to me. It's just like, oh, thank you, sir. That is like glorious. Exactly what I needed right now. And there's a rumor that EA is banning people for it. If you've got more proof on that, let us know, because I don't think either of us have it confirmed, but to me, it's what's being rumored seems stupid. I don't know if you have any other thoughts.
Yeah, I agree that what's being rumored is stupid. Like, if EA were to ban people for giving away a free win once they've completed their Weekend League, I think that's ridiculous, because they literally created a system where there are no rewards once you hit a certain threshold. Like, let's say you go 16-0 Like, there's nothing else to play for once you hit 16-0, but you actually have to go enter those four other games. Like, you can't even just hit a button to, like, skip out of those games. You have to go enter the game. And why would you spend, you know, 15 minutes playing the game? Like, of course you want to just quit. And so the easiest way to do that is to either let your opponent score if they have the kickoff and let them run through and score. But if you have kickoff, like, you just pass it back to your keeper, score an own goal, be done. And obviously you can just kick it out of bounds and quit, but, like, fuck those people. Like, that's insane. Like, you're a psychopath. Like, score the own goal and, you know, pay it forward in some regard. But that's just, like, rational behavior. And so if there was any truth to EA banning people for pursuing rational behavior, I think that that is insanity. They'd have to correct that. They'd have to pull those bans back. They'd have to apologize. And that is, like, I've heard people say it. I've seen it online. I just haven't seen it, like, confirmed. I'm really skeptical that it's even true, because it's such an insane position for them to take. I'd almost assume that if they banned someone for it, it was, like, a mistake, or, like, they thought they did something else. And the person who gave it away those wins actually literally did something else that was against terms of service, and that's what they're getting punished for. And so I'm gonna hold off, like, further ranting on EA on this, because I truly don't know or really even believe that it's true, because it would be insane for them to take that position. I do think this is a great time to bring up a question that we got from, it was Koblikov, who said, question, do you think EA will change the champs finals next season because so many people are quitting and giving away wins? And actually, I think, like, that's, like, the right question to ask. Like, if people are talking about bans and, like, some people don't even like spending the time giving away the wins, like, that's a great question to ask. And Andrew, what are your thoughts on that?
I think they will. I just think they will. Like, I think this is a trial run to see how this would work. And I think they're going to switch it up. And I mean, the easiest switch, and they could and probably should do this in the middle of the year, is make there be a reward for 20 wins. Or even, quite frankly, I think the real answer is make every win count. So make it a literal, I don't fucking know, like, you get a better chance at a better card for every win you get or something. Like, somehow make every win count. And that's the way you get people to play it all the way through and not just, like, quit out.
Right. I mean, it could be 15,000 coins for the wins in between those checkpoints. Like, if they could still keep the same benchmarks and then say, like, oh, like, all right, between 13 and 16, like, you know, at 14 and 15, you get an extra 15,000 at each win. People would then go play and try to win.
Of course.
Like, hey, I can make 30K on two wins. Like, why wouldn't I go try to do that? I think 100% they need to put a 18 win reward and a 20 win reward, like a legitimate one, because the pro scene seems to really be suffering in this environment. Like, I think really good players are just finding this too easy. I am not even remotely in their ballpark, but, like, there are guys that are just, like, cakewalking through weekend league, getting to their 16 wins and then, like, giving away the final four. I think it'd be cool for those guys to have an incentive to play for 20-0, and why not put it out there? And those guys have already spent thousands of dollars on this game. Like, let them give them a 90 plus guaranteed red. Like, I don't give a shit. Like, just put it out there.
Yeah, I would actually think, and I've mentioned this before, that NHL and MLB do this, where it's specific cards to, like, it's specific special cards for hitting that reward that you get. NHL has them untradeable and MLB has them tradable, but you get a special for, like, hitting, MLB calls it World Series, and it's actually Weekend League in NHL. Like, the only way to get these special super elite cards is for hitting whatever rank it is. And so if you went 20-0, you get, I don't know, 91 rated your pick of 90 rated Werner, 90 rated Royce, and, you know, I don't know, 90 rated De Jong instead of the ones that are in packs now, or something like that. So that's definitely the way to do it. Which, that's a good segue, though, because we have a second question too, which I guess you didn't answer, but I assume your answer is also yes, they're going to change up the way this is done because they don't like people quitting.
I 100% think they're going to change it. Your point on everyone should matter is for sure the right answer. I actually don't think they'll actually go do that. I think they'll still leave it like 2 to 3 game stretches because it forces people to have this like aspirational thing where it's like, you know, you're either going for 12 or you need to get better to get to 15. And I think there's more for them to gain by thinking you need to spend money on FIFA points to improve your team, to get good enough to get to the 15 wins versus the psychological thing that if you hit 13 or 14 wins and you're still getting something better, that makes you feel better and like you're doing good enough. I think they prefer the system where you think you're failing because you're not doing better. And so that makes you more likely to spend money on FIFA points. And so I think they'll still leave gaps.
Fucking casino trying to manipulate all of us, including us. We are both very susceptible to this manipulation and some parts, even we're fully aware of it. And I fall prey to it all the fucking time. So,
right. So but
you mentioned this is a little too easy for certain elite players. And from maybe the best player in our Discord, we've already mentioned him, Kevin LLC, asked us kind of a question. And he hates the new system. Having the weekend league behind a skill wall, for lack of a better term, is a slap in the face of so many players. Not trying to toot my horn, but I'm going to toot your horn, Kevin. You're a really fucking good player. But he's at a level where qualifying is not an issue, and it seems so unfair on players that are dedicated and can't have access. If you were hitting gold 3 previously, you're a very good player. And the fact that these players can only get about a 50-50 chance of qualifying just doesn't sit right with Kevin. How do you feel about it, Tyler?
Well, first, Kevin, thank you. I think Kevin is an empath, and I appreciate that. You know, he's not just like out there for himself, like thinking about like what's going to serve me and what are the rewards that are going to help me. And, you know, hey, someday I might hit 20-0 and there better be quadruple ultimate packs out there for me when I hit my 20-0. He's thinking about the little guy, and that's me. You know, I play this game a lot. I care. Failed to qualify for my first playoff. And not just me. I mean, there's millions of people just like me who failed to make it. And I agree to some extent where it's like, maybe it would be nice if there was like some eventual backdoor entry to like get into the weekend league. I'm okay as a player if it's like, oh, I don't qualify every week, like because I'm not good enough, like maybe it takes me 4 or 5, 6 weeks. I don't know. Like it takes me longer to like actually get into the system. I think that's fair. But I would love like the chance to just get in on occasion. And, you know, I think I appreciate that perspective of it. I think the other thing that's there is, there are parts of the system, because I'm kind of on that cusp of like, you know, I was kind of last year like a gold 3, gold 2, always on the cusp of gold 1 last year. And there's this feeling that like this current system encourages me to just get better at the game. And I actually think that is kind of inspiring. Like there's part of me that likes the current system because it like forces me to stop fucking around with like all the ancillary stuff of like squad building on Footbin and like spending time flipping Dumfries cards from 700 coins to 2000. It's like, why don't you just like watch your gameplay and like learn how to get better? And that part is probably like really the right answer. And so I'm going to take a step back for now and like focus on like, how do I just get better at the game? And so I'm going to spend the next week, 2 weeks focused on that. If it works and I get in and like, fantastic, like that's awesome. And then I'm like, you know, I'm less on Kevin's side of things and I'm more pro like this system. If I still can't qualify, I'll probably be really bitter and I'll be like, yeah, even Kevin's on my side. So jury's still out, but I think I'm still somewhat optimistic because the system at least encourages me to try to get better at the core gameplay. And at the end of the day, like that's actually what I really want. And so I'm still feeling like the momentum behind me trying to get better at the game. And so I'm not totally out on the system, but I've been gone for 10 days. So I missed a couple of weeks. So like, what have you? I may totally change this tune in a month, but for now, I'm happy with it. How about you, Andrew?
I'm also happy with it. Tyler, do you remember FIFA 18 and what is maybe my favorite mode of FIFA? And that's the daily knockout tournaments.
The daily knockout tournaments. Those were, so yes, to answer your question, I remember. And I remember not being great at FIFA 18 and never being able to win one.
So, everything you just described was my experience with FIFA 18. Like, I just started playing Ultimate Team. I thought I was pretty good at career mode and then also online seasons, but I was like learning how to do Ultimate Team and everything like that. And I tried Daily Knockout Tournament and I would get my ass kicked. And people, and like, I started my Twitter account and stuff to kind of learn to get better. And people kind of would make it seem like, oh, it was so easy to win Daily Knockout Tournament. And I'm like, well, I'm just like grinding my butt off to get like a 300K squad. So this is not easy for me. And winning my first Daily Knockout Tournament, and I think I did it in like January, was such a huge accomplishment to me. It just like made me, it is one of the things I feel like the best about I've ever done in foot, because I actually had to like work to get better at the game and learn how to play and all these things. And it was also a more rewarding game, of course. Like, you know, it wasn't the best game, but it certainly felt like when you press buttons, it did the things you fucking pressed. And like, when you did smart things, you were rewarded for doing smart things. When you did dumb things, you were punished for doing dumb things. So in that sense, it was like, I just had this like sense of reward and stuff of like, oh, I finally qualified for weekend league. And I fully remember, I even like talked to my wife about this. I was just like, look, I just qualified for this like highly competitive thing in FIFA, and I'm going to play all 40 games, which was 40 games at the time. I was like, I'm going to play all of them this weekend. Like, so you're not going to see me a lot. Like, I'm going to play like in the middle of the day. Like, we're going to see me, but like, I'm going to do this a lot. I went like 20 and 20 in my first weekend league. I was like, this is fucking awesome. Like, I feel like such a sense of accomplishment, both from winning Daily Knockout and from that record. And I was kind of hoping, I am hoping that's how this playoff system is. So I get it for someone like Kevin, who is too good. So the daily knockouts or the now playoff is like too easy for them. There needs to be another step. Like, just playing 20 weekend league games maybe isn't, EA hasn't like fully stepped it up to figure out like, oh, what we need is to have something where we have a tournament where everyone who goes 20-0 in a weekend league then gets put in a like single elimination or double elimination tournament or something like that. And that's where you really like, if you're that level of good, then like, that's where you get to compete.
Well, that's the answer for me, right? Like, that would be incredible. Like,
yeah,
I think if you literally said, okay, everything is about eventually figuring out how to go 20-0 in the system, and then you get thrown into this pool of a tournament. And even if you do shitty in that tournament, like, you get some extra reward where, yes, it's like, oh, like, you get like, if you, the earliest knockout, you get 100,000 coins. Like, it's like something special for like, oh, like, because you went 20-0, you got in this tournament. If you come and compete in this tournament, your minimum reward is 100,000 coins, but like, it just gets better from there, where it's like, oh, you get a base icon or you get a whatever. Like, they could like go all out on that. And then people would really care about that a lot. And that would give someone like Kevin something to aspire to, like, oh, I'm 16-4. Like, I'm close, but I'm not quite 20-0 material. How do I get better?
Exactly.
So that would be
incredible. To me, that is the answer. Although it might, you know, 20-0 might not be the right spot. It might be the 16-4 spot to get everyone to play out, because it might be like too limiting, because I imagine this, having no clue of how to be this good, but I imagine the skill gap between 16-4 and 20-0 is probably pretty wide, actually. Like, the people who lose, the Borises and stuff, they don't even like go undefeated every weekend league, right? Like, they'll lose two games or something.
How could you? Like, the craziness of this game, like, that's unfathomable.
Exactly. So that would seem unfair, but, you know, make it 18 wins or 16 wins or whatever the right threshold is. But it would be, I think that's the answer, Kevin, to make it more fun. And then that makes your weekend league meaningful and not just like, oh, I'm playing. But also, a lot of people I've heard, like, playoffs are the sweaty thing. You just have to make it through the playoffs. And then, like, weekend league, you're just playing. You're just kind of like freely playing FIFA. And that is actually fun too. And that's the way I want to play FIFA. Like, I am competitive, but I actually just want to like play the game and have fun. And it seems like a lot of people are doing that in weekend league these days because the rewards now for making weekend league are so good.
100%. And I lost my first playoff run. I'm afraid to go back and try again because I think the worst part about it is the re-getting the 1500 points. And I think I'm afraid to try again because if I fail, that means I have to go get the 1500 points again. I think that's the system that they need to fix for like the lower level casual player is not the
daily knockout.
Not make them have to do that. Like, it's like, how do I, like, if I literally just played a playoff and lost, I don't know, give me 500 points per win that I got during the playoff for the next playoff run, right? So if I only get three wins, it's like I've already got my 1500 to like have another stab at it.
Oh, you mean for the rivals, whatever. I actually think even less than that, just like let people have playoff. Like, let people try for playoffs. Like, daily knockout tournament, you just got to fucking play, right? There was no
restriction. It's like, why do you have to earn
48 hours to win four games in this tournament.
I think their fear is that if they don't do it, people won't play rivals. And so it's like people will only play the playoff and weekend league. And so there's a lot to unpack.
Give out better rewards and rivals. Give out rival-specific player rewards. Like, MLB The Show has figured this fucking shit out. You get there are three. NHL has figured this out. So Tyler, just give me a look. So MLB The Show has three main modes. Battle Royale, which is the equivalent of draft. Ranked Seasons, which is the equivalent of Rivals and Weekend League combined, because it's more Rivals based. It's like a season long thing. And then Events, which are the equivalent of the friendlies. And each of those has their own special set of rewards. They're all tradable too, which is amazing, but they're like specific players you get for whatever the event or the BR or the ranked seasons is. And for achieving whatever you have to achieve in there, you get these specific players for the specific modes. And that's how you do it. That's the solution right there. You get people to play any mode you want by giving them a mode specific reward, not stupid packs, not anything like that. Just like, you can get this card through this thing.
So you think they'd probably solve it. and I mean, they obviously are like, EA are obviously aware of like everything that MLB The Show does.
Yeah.
Surely they're just afraid because it's like, they're worried about giving people too good of rewards too early because they won't spend FIFA points. And so there's like this protecting their baby kind of thing, which I understand. But I think at the root of Kevin's question is like the general structure of Weekend League. I do think it will all be modified. I think even actually Koblikov's question, right? Like the structure is going to get modified. Like they've said, every season it will be a little bit different. And so I think we'll probably see more rewards for more tiers. I think it'd be amazing if they introduced some kind of tournament for people who were elite at this game and hit a certain threshold. Like, I'd love for those people, like, pros seem to be suffering. Like, they're like, Weekend League is a breeze. Like, it's not even fun. It's not good content. Like, it's just, like, not a good thing to do. And so it's like, they should fix that. Like, make a more compelling tournament that's, like, post-Weekend League that's, like, oh, this is pros only, and they're going to get really insane rewards for it. Like, I'm all for that. Like, you know, on the odd chance that I match, like, you know, John Oliveira and his, like, you know, all red 99 team, like, it's insignificant to me. Like, at my level, my ELO, like, it's just very rarely and unlikely to happen. To where I'd rather see those guys enjoy the game too. And I think that would make for a better competitive scene. And I think we'll get there. It's just this first season hasn't quite hit that mark.
Yeah, so I didn't actually know they were going to change up the season. So that's great. So that's a great way for EA to do this and evaluate and everything. Tyler, we've gone a really long time, including a glitch by my internet to cause us to have to like break up our recording. So I don't have anything else to say. Hopefully you guys have listened to the end. Join our Discord. It's pretty fun in there. We're doing trading talking. We're doing gameplay talking. You know, just kind of generally chilling, talking. Anything else from you?
No, all I will say is you can find me on Twitter at Pace of a Tortoise. You can find this show at foot_FIX on Twitter. And then Andrew, where can folks find you?
foot_AST.
And with that, folks, this has been your weekly hit of the Foot Fix.